allows us to come as we are, but doesn't leave us the same. He changes us. He makes a difference in our life. He works in us, through us, and around us. Our scripture affirmation today comes from 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. And he said, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon.
And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods.
And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, notwithstanding in the days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Father, these sobering words that we read today, we're just asking that you would help us to keep focused on you, that you would help us to love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul, that through your words we would be instructed, we would be warned, we would be helped, and we would be faithful. But Lord, we need you. And we are so grateful that you are here this day. You are welcome to have your way in this place. So this day, Lord, let us celebrate your goodness and grace. This day, Lord, let us surrender our hearts afresh to you. This day, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Know that you know that you know that you're free. To know that you don't have to worry any longer. To know that you don't have to be lost in that bondage that comes from worry, that bondage that comes from knowing that something might happen, that bondage that keeps you from being able to think clearly. We can be free. We can be absolutely, thoroughly, definitively free. Today is the holiday that has got to be, should be, for all men, one of the most humbling days of the year. You know, if we really think that we're really good at this, we're deceived. Yet, days like this show us God's grace. It shows us that in spite of ourselves, something can be produced that is special and real. And even though it doesn't always turn out exactly the way that we planned, we realize that our plans were flawed anyway. Just imagine. Imagine if you were a great man. In everybody's estimation, you were a great man and you wanted to do something marvelous so that your memory would go on and you were living in your destiny, and your destiny was just marvelous, miraculous. You were in the line of the eternal king. You were kind of special and you knew it. You wanted to do something great. You wanted to do something wonderful. And you said, well, I think I will build a temple for the living God, a place where it will symbolize his presence throughout eternity. He can rest his feet here, and the whole world can pour into this place so that they can worship him. They pour into this place and say how great he is, and it will be a symbol that we, the people of God, are in love with him and are thankful to him and are appreciative of him. And you say, you're going to do that, and he says, nah, you can't build me a temple. But I'll tell you what, I'll let your son build me one. So you lay up all the stuff. And you have this son, and that you believe should be the chosen one. And why did you pick him? Well, because he is the product of one of your greatest failures. And because he's the product of one of your greatest failures, it shows the wonder and amazing grace of your Father. You're going to give it all. To the child of your adultery. To the child of your murder. And so you pass it along. And you know, you think the kid would get it. And he starts off good. I mean, Solomon started off well. Except maybe for all those people he had to kill. But he started off really well. And he becomes the wisest man ever known. He's wise. He's rich. Everything is going so very, very well. Except for this thing, he seemed to have this kind of problem. You know, we snicker at it and say it wasn't a problem, you know. But he had a 700 political treaties. Yeah, that's what they would do in those days if they wanted to make a connection with the countries around them. They would use a wife to do that. You know, so someone would give him his daughter or something like that, and he would make that connection. You know, and that sounds like a really good explanation, and that's the explanation we most often hear for how he got started on this path. But I began to think about that a little bit, and you know, there aren't 700 nations around Israel. Yeah. This guy was like, you know, well, I got to make an agreement with the neighborhood over there. It's like that football player they just hired in Cleveland. You know, he's a great football player. Great football player. But he's got a problem. He might be the nicest guy in the world, and I'm not taking sides or any of that stuff, but he's got a problem. And we need to look at the Word of God and realize that God gives us real people to understand. Solomon. The wisest man that ever lived had a problem. We've got to look at that and realize that, and it ought to keep us humble. Because if somebody that rich, if someone with those many advantages could screw up. Someone like that could have an idiot son. Then we ought to wake up every morning knowing that we need to go to God and say, Lord, I need you to be in charge this day. Lord, I need you to handle it this day. Lord, I can't do this thing without you. I sometimes feel like I'm pretty smart, but I'm not smart enough. I sometimes feel like I'm kind of strong, but I'm not strong enough. And Lord, if I tell you truthfully, I don't feel so strong every day. I don't feel like I'm getting it right every day. I don't feel like it. And I don't know how it started, but maybe it started the same way it started with Solomon. And with Solomon, it started with a compromise of God's word. He was doing the thing that seemed to make sense to do in the world's eyes until it got to be out of hand. And suddenly at the end, he doesn't know what's up and what's down and what's right and what's left. And he's doing what he could never have possibly imagined that he would ever do. So let's look at the story, the 11th chapter of 1 Kings. But King Solomon loved many strange women. I like it. Most of the translations today say many foreign wives. I kind of like that. Many strange women. These women were coming from all kinds of places. It's not just that they were foreign. It was that they didn't love the Lord that he loved. They didn't think the way that he thought. He loved people that would eventually drag him away from the God that he knew. What is it that you are starting to love that drags you away from the God you say you know? Are there things in your life that are so important to you that they drag you away from the God that you say you love? This God who is the King of Kings. He's over everything. He's Lord of Lords. He has the right to say whatever he wants to say. He's the one who saves you, keeps you from destruction. This wondrous, amazing God you say you love, but you love something else so very much that you feel yourself being turned. You're being turned from being faithful. You're being turned from being true. You're being turned from being the person you've been called to be. You're being turned away from real devotion, real integrity with God. What's turning you today? Love many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Let me see. We were delivered from Egypt. We were delivered in such a way that God showed that he was king over all of those foreign deities. We were delivered, yet had to make a treaty. I hope she was cute. The daughter of Pharaoh, then the women of the Moabites. We are definitely not supposed to have anything to do with the Moabite women because the Moabite women came from the line of Lot who slept with his daughters. And those Moabites would treat us badly later. In fact, we also had some of those Ammonites, and the Ammonites were the other daughter's children. And the Ammonites, they worked to turn us away from God and to weaken us and to try to destroy us, and God foiled that, but we should have never made any alliance with them. And the Edomites, that they are in the wrong side of the line there, and they didn't treat us right when we were trying to go into the promised land. And the Zidonians, and they had strange gods that we shouldn't have had anything to do with. And the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods. Yet Solomon clave unto these in love. What is it that you're holding on to in love that you just can't let go, that is pulling you away? Is there something that you know is sin, yet it's got its hooks in you? Could it be the television? The television that portrays all kinds of things on it that you know your eyes should not behold. But it's only TV. And I only give a few hours a day to it. Could it be a person? And euphemistically you say, well, you know I have needs. Remember who Solomon was. He prayed the most beautiful prayer, asking for God to give him wisdom. He asked for wisdom instead of long life and money and all of those things. And so God says, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you what you prayed for. I'm mad because you prayed the right thing. I'm setting you up. There'll be nobody that's been like you. It's going to be something so special. And God appeared to him. Can you imagine it right now? I mean, we know that God is present. We know the theological thing that God is with us right now. We get that. But what if suddenly we were so aware of his presence we could see him? He saw him. He saw him. He appeared to him not just once. He appeared to him twice. He should have been sure that it was worth it to hold out for God. But he had 700 wives. They were princesses. They were his political alliances. He had 700 special women and 300 he just treated like sex toys. He didn't start out that way. He didn't start out that way. And most of you didn't start out that way. But what's got you now? Verse 4. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. Now, we know that David messed up. He messed up big time several different times, different ways. He did things that didn't work out. So what was the difference that we see between Solomon and David? How do we see the difference, and how does that apply to us? Solomon, as he got older, seemed to get worse and worse and worse. He made excuses for his sin. He just gave up on doing the right thing. He just more and more and more, he kept making attachments and he kept doing things that just were not right. But when David found himself in sin, he said, oh, Lord, against thee only have I sinned. He confessed his sin. He admitted that he found himself. He woke up and realized, I'm in the wrong place. I'm doing the wrong thing. I have not done right. He had someone around him that could call him on himself, who could say to him, you're the man. And when he realized that he was the man, he did what the New Testament tells us to do today. Confess your sin And he is faithful. Our God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Now, why is he just to forgive you your sin? Because the punishment of your sin has been satisfied. God meted out the punishment of your sin. It's all been paid for. Anything that you think you could have done that was wrong, it has been paid for. It was paid for in the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life so that he could be the spotless Lamb of God. He was the continuation of Israel's story. I always wonder, why does he use Israel that way? Why does he have to have a special thing? Because he wanted to tell us, he wanted to show us what kind of God he was and how it all is supposed to end, and to show us his faithfulness. And he shows us his faithfulness through Jesus Christ, who died so that we might live. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And now is at the right hand of the Father, one with the Father as he always was, making intercession for us, standing between us and the faith that we would have deserved. But we have been changed. We have been translated from darkness into his marvelous light. God has blessed us. David was a man who confessed his sin, recognized that he was wrong and God was right. Solomon was a man who delved into his sin and died before he came out. What is it that you love so much that is holding you so tight? That's keeping you from a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if he has called you. If he has called you, you need to answer. If he has called you and you are really his, you will confess your faults. You won't stand for staying there in that place. Verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the war goddess, the Zidonians, and after Milcom. Some people believe that's also Molech, and they sacrificed children. The abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Are you going fully after the Lord? I want you to know I'm calling you up. It's not okay just to have a passing infatuation. We've got to be serious. Do you want this thing or not? Seven. This tells you that Solomon missed it completely. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, an abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, at this hill overlooking Jerusalem, and they're worshiping other gods above Jerusalem. For Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. First, it's only a little sin. It's only a little thing. Then it's a little bit more. And it's a little bit more. And then one day you can't tell your right from your left. You can't tell what's up and what's down. You don't have to stay there. Today you can be free. You do not have to stay there. The Lord was angry with Solomon, verse 9, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. There's a lot to that. And there are probably some correlations that I can't make one-to-one. I don't believe that we can lose our salvation, but we can fool ourselves thinking that we have something we don't. You need to hear that. If you can live happily in your sin, you need to question whether or not you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God is calling to us. Don't let that question linger. Do something. If Solomon can be turned from devotion to God when he saw God twice, who are we? We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time. We need to obey him. We need to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and make sure that our heart is right with him. We can't do that on our own. He has to empower us. It's by grace. He gives us the grace. It's by grace we are saved through faith. He gives us the gift of faith, not of works, lest any of us should boast, for we are his workmanship. He created us for a purpose. I pray that your purpose is more than just being a good, bad example. Sometimes we just got to stop and admit this is hard. And without you, Father, I cannot do this. Father's Day. There's nothing more humbling than to look down at your children and go, oh. Lord. Help us. Sometimes we think we're smart and we have so much. But without you, without real devotion to you, without really having you, we have nothing. So today, Father, would you be so very kind as to turn our hearts to you. Don't let us be turned by the stuff of this world, by the people of this world, by the things of this world. Turn our hearts to you. Remember that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, let him work in you today. Please. Please. Maybe you want to pray this. Dear Lord, help me to locate where I am. Help me to know what to do in this situation, whatever it is I find myself in. Help me, help me, help me. I trust you, Lord. If you called me, nothing can stop it. And I believe that you're calling me even now. And I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If God is talking to you today, the altar is open. The team's going to sing. And I just want you to know how serious it is. I'm not beating up on anybody. I'm showing you that good people struggle. Today is the day.